Well, good morning, Christ community. Good to see you today. I hope you guys are all nestled there, got your coffee in hand, your Bible in hand. We're ready to dive in here to Acts chapter 11 here in just a moment. We're going to finish out Acts chapter 11, looking at verses 19 through 30. So go ahead and open up with me to Acts chapter 11 there. And as you're doing so, I want to encourage you in a couple ways. You heard Pastor Matt earlier talk about Holy Week is here and ways to get connected in our church. I want to tell you a few other things that we're doing this coming week, starting with tonight. Today, at 5 o'clock, we're going to start a week of prayer gatherings. And so tonight at 5 o'clock, Tuesday and Thursday at 6 a.m. and at noon, I'm going to be offering a Zoom prayer gathering for our church. And so I don't know what your availability is, but if you're available to hop on to a Zoom prayer meeting, then you can do so starting at 5 o'clock tonight, or you can hop on there Tuesday or Thursday morning at 6 a.m. or Tuesday or Thursday at noon. To sign up for one of those so you can get the link to join us, you can go to christcommunity.com/Zoom, Z-O-O-M. Make sure you register your time. You can do one time. You can do multiple times. Whatever you want to do, we're just going to simply gather. We're going to read some scripture, and we're going to pray together. It'll be about 30 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes or so, just calling our church to continue to focus on prayer as we head towards Easter. So Zoom prayer gatherings, christcommunity.com/Zoom. Sign up. We'll be live tonight at 5 o'clock, and I'm excited about helping lead those along the way. Also, this coming Friday is Good Friday, and we're going to have a service at noon on Good Friday. It'll be pre-recorded, so you can watch it later on throughout the day if you miss the noon time. And then Sunday morning, obviously, is Easter Sunday, and we're going to be celebrating from every house we can in every neighborhood we find around here. And so you can join us at 8:30, 10 o'clock, 11:30, and 5 o'clock on Easter Sunday for one of our Easter services. Really excited about celebrating the resurrection with you virtually. It's really strange, but this is how the Lord has chosen to allow us to celebrate Easter together. If you're there with me, Acts chapter 11, hopefully you found it there in your Bible. We're going to read together, starting with verse 19. This is what Dr. Luke writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now those who had been scattered as a result of the persecution that started because of Stephen made their way as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews. But there were some of them, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks, also proclaiming the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. News about them reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to travel as far as Antioch. When he arrived and saw the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged all of them to remain true to the Lord with devoted hearts. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And large numbers of people were added to the Lord. Then he went to Tarsus to search for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught large numbers. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. In those days, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and predicted by the Spirit that there would be a severe famine throughout the Roman world. This took place during the reign of Claudius. Each of the disciples, according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brothers and sisters who lived in Judea. They did this, sending it to the elders by means of Barnabas and Saul. Will you pray with me from your home this morning? Father, this is your word. We thank you for it. We pray that you would teach us from it, that you would encourage us from it. You'd be glorified at our response from it, God. We want to hear from you today. May your Spirit do the work in our hearts to produce in us faithfulness, devotion, and trust in our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I don't know what you're doing with all your time these days, but I'm finding myself outside a lot. My wife has got all sorts of home projects that have been on my to-do list, well, her to-do list for a while, and my to-do list because she's put them there. And I continue to kind of I just don't have time, honey. I don't have the time. But now I apparently have all sorts of time. And so this weekend, we tackled a huge project in our backyard. We built this beautiful fire pit, and I don't know if it's just my age or what it is, but at the end of this thing, I felt so tired. Like, I've got calluses on my hand. I was exhausted. My body aches. It's probably my age. My body aches. I'm like broken down. And last night I was just wanted to go to bed. And then I got up early this morning and I just like am exhausted. And that's just the first project she's got me on. And so I've got more projects to go. But I don't know if that kind of feeling is how you're feeling right now. I don't know what your feelings are in this moment. We're about 3 weeks into the season, and it's really strange. I like healthy rhythms, and I'm all out of rhythm. And I got six kids at home, and they're all awesome. We love them all. But, you know, that's challenging with eight people in a home, and everyone is feeling sort of different and trying to balance whole work and life thing. It's no longer work-life balance. It's more work-life integration. And maybe you're just feeling exhausted today. Maybe you're feeling worn out. Maybe you've got some financial problems going on now. Perhaps your company is scaling back and you're not really certain that you're going to make the cut. Perhaps you didn't make the cut and this week you got the notice that you were going to be laid off. Perhaps your marriage that was already struggling has just kind of continued to struggle even worse. Maybe your relationship with your kids weren't the greatest already, and now you're really struggling. I don't know where you find yourself at. Maybe you're beat down and broken and just trying to figure things out. You want to live faithfully in this season, but you're just trying to figure out how to do so. Maybe you're asking the question, where is the Lord at? Well, I hope today's sermon will bless you and encourage you. Let's look together at this story again. Look at verse 19. I'm going to try to highlight some things for us together along the way. And so if you read with me, it says, now those who had been scattered, if you remember here, back in chapter 8, we learned that the church had been scattered because of the persecution of Stephen and his death. And you remember, the church in chapter 8, verse 4, says they scattered, and as they went, they continued preaching the word. Remember, ordinary Christians in the church of Jerusalem went about preaching the word as they went. Now, this text sets this up again. Those who had been scattered as a result of the persecution that started because of Stephen made their way as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. Now, pay attention to Antioch here. Antioch is the one this story is about. And Antioch is a huge city, and it's a major city in this moment, but also to the future of where we're going in Acts. Now, notice here that you've got these Greek-speaking Jewish believers travel to Antioch to preach the word. Now, just to give you an idea of where Antioch is here, you could see that here is Jerusalem, and they travel all the way up to Antioch. So here's Samaria, here's Judea. We've heard about these places. Here's Phoenicia. It says they traveled as far as Phoenicia all the way up to Antioch. It's some 300 miles north of Jerusalem. And they've gone all the way here to this major city called Antioch. What we learn here, it says, but there were some of them, it says, men from Cyprus and Cyrene who came to Antioch and once again, began speaking now to the Greeks also, proclaiming the good news about Jesus. This is the gospel. The gospel message is the good news about Jesus Christ. It tells us about the life of Jesus, that God sent his son Jesus to live a perfect life, a life you and I could never live, a life that you and I failed to live. We're not perfect, but Jesus is perfect. We're not holy, but Jesus was fully holy. That he died an awful, horrible death, a crucifixion on the cross. The Bible tells us he did this for the sin of mankind, for your sin and my sin. That he died for the weight of our sin, taking upon him the wrath due to us. God's wrath, God's punishment for our sin taken upon him. And that when Jesus died, he breathed his last, went into the grave, and 3 days later, he rose to life. He was resurrected. God brought him to life. We celebrate that every Sunday, but more so on Easter Sunday, we really celebrate the resurrection of Christ. This is the good news. The good news is, you know, bad news is we're sinners. Worst news is the sin, the punishment we deserve is eternal separation from God in a place called hell. The good news is God sent his son Jesus to die for you, to be put on a cross for you, to be buried and to raise to life, and that anyone that would come to him believing, turning from their sin, believing this truth will be saved. That's good news. And the great news is that when we give our lives to God, God completely wipes our slate clean. He forgives us of all of our sin. And he gives us a relationship with him and a home in eternity to come in his new heavens and new earth. It's great news. And so here, the way the gospel works is people hear the gospel, they choose to repent of their life, they turn from their ways of living, and they surrender and they trust and believe in Christ. And so here we have now these other believers from Cyprus and Cyrene in really modern day Libya. Cyprus is here and Cilicia is up there. But you have this idea that here's Cyrene right here. They're coming this way and they're going to Antioch as well. And they're going to preach the gospel here to the Greek-speaking Gentiles living there. So you've got in Antioch, you've got Jews, you've got Gentiles, and more so than that, this huge city of Antioch is really a major international city. It is massive. We find out it's the third largest city in Rome. It is multicultural. It's multilinguistic. There's about 500,000 people in this city. There's Jews. There's Gentiles. There's Romans. This is known as the Queen of the East. This whole city of Antioch was a major, major city. There's people from Persia, from India, and even China. It was the capital in all of Syria. And here we find out that in this major city, all these people end up going here for the purpose of reaching Antioch with the gospel. The church is scattered north. These other brothers who were Christians are coming toward Antioch to reach both the Jews and the Gentiles, to reach the Romans, to reach them all for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As they went proclaiming the good news. They proclaimed the gospel. And notice here what it says. It says in verse 21, the Lord's hand was with them. Man, how incredible is that, to know that as they went, God's hand was with them. God blessed their work. God went before them, preparing hearts. Remember, throughout the book of Acts, we've been seeing this take place. We've seen God going before them with people like Cornelius and the Ethiopian man. We've seen God going before Ananias with Saul. God goes before to prepare the work, and God is blessing their work. And because of God's hand being with them, it says a large number who believed turned to the Lord. Notice there, you have them believing and turning. This idea of repenting and belief. This is how it goes. We trust Christ. There is a repentance and there is a faith. I believe by faith. I repent from my ways and I believe this to be true. That if we want to escape hell, that if we want to follow Christ, we must turn from our ways and believe him and trust him by faith. This is a word we call conversion. When a person changes from their ways and submits their life to Jesus Christ, they trust him as Savior and Lord. They are converted. It says God blessed their work, and a large number of people who believe turned to the Lord. How beautiful is this? And this gospel goes to this major city in Antioch. And this city in Antioch, notice the Queen of the East. It was a very large city full of sin and debauchery. Think kind of Las Vegas over here with Antioch. And here this idea comes that this city is in need of the gospel and the church goes there to reach it. And we have one of the first churches planted. This is really the first international church we have, made up of both Jews and Gentiles, two different people, two different cultures, two different geographies, now united by the blood of Christ. Romans begin trusting Christ, and this whole church begins to bloom and blossom. And this church becomes, as John Stott says, the springboard for the worldwide Christian mission. This church becomes a major moment, a major church for the future spread of the gospel. Notice what it says in verse 22. News about them reached the church in Jerusalem. This church was booming so much and going so fast and doing so much that news began to go 300 miles south back to Jerusalem, and they began hearing about all that God was doing through the Christians in Antioch. And they're rolling. And how cool is to have a church that's reaching people and news about them is spreading? How cool would it be for people in South Charlotte or in Charleston or in wherever to hear about what's taking place in the city of Charlotte because the witness of Christ's community, particularly in this season? How unique would it be for people in our own neighborhoods to say, hey, do you know what's taking place on that street? And those Christians are talking about their faith, and neighbor after neighbor after neighbor is trusting Christ. How cool is it to think, hey, my coworker who's on this conference call, every time he gets on, he says, hey, guys, before we get on, I don't want to force you guys, but can we just spend just a moment praying? Can I just pray for you? Just think about what might happen if we began to step out in faith in some new areas and see people reach with the gospel. News about them reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas, this guy Barnabas we find here, to travel as far as Antioch. It says, when he arrived and saw the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged all of them to remain true to the Lord with devoted hearts. Now, this church in Jerusalem wanted to, once again, confirm the work of God, so they send Barnabas north. Barnabas gets there and arrives, and this guy Barnabas, just so you know, his name means son of encouragement. He's not an apostle. Earlier on, they would send out an apostle to confirm the work. We found that to be Peter. But now you have Barnabas going, and with this name meaning son of encouragement, and he certainly lived up to this name. He was glad to see the Lord's work in Antioch, and he encouraged them. And look how he encourages them to remain true to the Lord with devoted hearts. What great encouragement for us today. Remember, the church in Jerusalem has been persecuted and scattered. They're homeless, and as they're going, they're still declaring the hope of the gospel. They're making their way through city to city on this kind of trajectory towards going north. They land in Antioch trying to find a home, but as they're going, they're sharing. And what Barnabas wants them to know is, in this season of persecution, you need to remain true to the Lord with a devoted heart. That's a good question for us. Are we in this season remaining true to the Lord with devoted hearts? I know you might be feeling frustrated or angry or hopeless or lonely or uncertain. But are you remaining true to the Lord? Are you devoted to Him every day? Have you woken up and spent time with the Lord every day last week? A couple days last week? One day last week? What a great reminder for us that in this season, let us not run from the Lord, but to run to the Lord, to remain true to Him with devoted hearts. Perhaps you're someone who has walked away from the Lord, and you're tuning in for the first time in a long time, or you're hopping on here, and you're not a believer. I want you to know that you can know Christ today by trusting Him, by turning from your own ways, believing that He died for you, He rose for you, and He holds out life for you. If you're someone who's walked away from the Lord, you can return. Just repent and return to Him and be devoted to Him. Notice the result of Barnabas' teaching ministry among them. It says in verse 24, Luke describes Barnabas here like he did Stephen earlier, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And as a result of this man's faithfulness, his faithful teaching, his being full of the Spirit, God used him. And it says, and large numbers, there's that word again, of people were added to the Lord. We continue to see this. We're 11 chapters into Acts, and we've seen the Lord adding to the church over and over again at the end of various seasons. He is doing things intentionally to cause the church to grow, to cause the church to flourish, to cause thousands of people to respond in faith and trust him with their life. And you got to keep in mind that these weren't all bright and daisy times. Seasons of persecution, seasons of hardness came, but out of those seasons of hard times came great growth and great things for the Lord. Look at verse 25. We continue reading here. Then he went to Tarsus to search for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught large numbers. Now, to get an idea here of where Tarsus is, we're back on this map. You see here is Antioch right there. And right up here, we find Tarsus. Tarsus is right there. So Barnabas now goes all the way up to Tarsus, searches for Saul, which is known to be his hometown, and they find Saul. He brings him back to Antioch, and we find out here that here they taught together large numbers of people. And what did they teach them? They probably taught them the gospel, taught them about Christ. They taught them the Old Testament scriptures. They probably taught them of seeing Jesus in the Old Testament. They taught them the ways of Christianity, of the way of God, to live for him, to be devoted to him, to be close to him, to walk with him. For a whole year, Saul and Barnabas invested here. And listen, this is what took place. This church in Antioch was so weird, and they were so different and distinct. It says the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. The first time, and this word Christian is not a term of endearment. This is not good news. This is a poor word, a bad word. This is a word to make fun of them, that you were like that Christ guy, and they were defined by Christ. And this is a unique moment. The first word we have for Christian is right here in the church of Antioch. We keep going to verse 27. In those days, the scene shifts to another major moment. In those days, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and predicted by the Spirit that there would be a severe famine. We have this another major catastrophe coming throughout the Roman world. This took place during the reign of Claudius. Now, Luke doesn't want you to know so much or want us to pay so much attention to the timeline here or the famine. He wants us to pay attention to the Christians' response, to the response of the church. Look at verse 29. Each of the disciples, according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brothers and sisters who lived in Jerusalem, in Judea. They did this, sending it to the elders by means of Barnabas and Saul. Now, notice the generous response, middle of a famine, for this church in Antioch. It says, each of the disciples. Notice this. This is not a collective determination. This is an individual decision. Each of the disciples, each one of them, each Christian determined, according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brothers and sisters who lived in Judea. Notice that each person, according to what they could do, they weighed their resources. And they thought intentionally about what they could do to meet the need of other brothers and sisters who are really in this severe famine. And it says they determined to send relief. What a beautiful picture of a church meeting the needs of other churches. And it says they did this, sending it to the elders by means of Barnabas and Saul. This is the first place we find the word elders in the New Testament. These brothers who are caring for the flock of God. It's important for us to know here that in seasons of hardship, we're to determine how we can meet the needs of others going through hardship. Now, I've really tried to think about intentionally how to make application for us today, and I want to wrap up our sermon today with some application. Let me give you kind of the main point that I think we see here. I will say that God works in every season for his glory and the good of his church. We find ourselves in an interesting season, don't we? We're in a season of uncertainty still. We don't know how long. We don't know when it will end. We don't know when we'll be back to work. We don't know when anything. It really helps us think about what the scriptures say when they say, teach us to number our days. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We know in the next week or two, death rate in America will skyrocket. We know the death rate in our own community will skyrocket. We don't know the future holds, but I know that in every season, based on this scripture and others, God works for his glory and the good of his church. Because of that, I've got four things here to provide application for you. First, God always has a plan. God always has a plan. In the garden, God had a plan. In the wilderness, God had a plan. In Egypt, God had a plan. In every moment in history, God's always had a plan. In captivity, Babylon, God had a plan. In the 400 years of silence before Matthew 1, God had a plan. God had a plan from the beginning of time to send Jesus Christ. God had a plan. In persecution of the church, God had a plan. Throughout history, the Middle Ages, God had a plan. Through the bubonic plague, God had a plan. Through the Spanish flu, God had a plan. And through COVID-19, God has a plan. Through every moment in history, through every moment in your life, through every moment in our church's life, God always has a plan. I don't know what that is right now, but I believe God has a plan. And I believe God's going to use this moment in all of our lives to prune us, to call us deeper, and to call us further. Let us remain true to the Lord, to be devoted with him with full hearts. God always has a plan. Through persecution, it was growth. Through famine, it was provision. And through this pandemic, prayerfully, it will be awakening. God always has a plan. Secondly, God always uses his church. God always uses his church. Christopher Wright wrote a book called The Mission of God, and in it he says this: it's not so much that God has a mission for his church in the world, but that God has a church for his mission in the world. Church, God has a church for his mission, and you are it. What does God want to do through you for his mission in this season? Think about this. Churches go as missionaries. Churches plant other churches. Churches strengthen other churches. This is what we see here, that the church does this. We determine to meet the needs of others. We determine to lay ourselves down for the good of others. We do these things as God's church because he has a mission to accomplish through us. Simple question is, what does God want to do through you? Listen, God wants to use you. Will you let him? Will you be used by God? In every season, God wants to use you to serve the needs of others, to serve them spiritually, and to serve them physically. How? How is God wanting to use you right now? How is God going to use you today? Wake up tomorrow morning and say, God, how do you want to use me today? Let me be available to be used by you, because God always uses his church. Three, God always uses his word. He always uses his word. Church, I want you to know, best thing you can do in this season is to get in the word. Get before God and his scriptures. Pray, read, and eat and feast on the word of God. Memorize it. Let it soak into your soul. Let it soak into your memory, and get with God in his word, so that when you go out and you meet a neighbor, God might bring the words that you read that morning to bear on that conversation. God uses his word to share the gospel with others. We should be growing in this season. We want to be obedient to God's word. You know, along the way in this season, God might so speak to you, to call you out, to show you that you've been maybe on the back burner in the church, and God might want to raise you up as a leader in the church. Just like he did with Barnabas. Barnabas stepped out in leadership. Brothers and sisters in the church stepped out in leadership. Perhaps God's calling you into leadership in the church in some way. Perhaps God's even calling you to ministry, to be a pastor, or to be a missionary in this season. I believe God is working, and he wants to work through his word to call us up and to call us out, because God always uses his word. And then fourth and finally, God always uses his spirit. Always uses his spirit. His spirit is what empowers our evangelistic zeal. Even in this moment, we read that as they go, they're sharing the gospel, and the Lord's hand was upon them. The Spirit of God empowered the mission of the church. The Spirit of God empowered their missionary endeavors. He wants to empower us. Someone said this: it's not your job to convince people that the gospel is true. It is your job to live convinced that it is. And this season, are you convinced that God has a plan? That God's gospel is true and it's the only hope we have? If so, then we should be telling others about it. God uses his Spirit to empower evangelistic zeal. But he also uses the Spirit to encourage spiritual growth. His Spirit encourages us toward spiritual growth. We feel convicted for our sin. When you feel convicted, listen to the Spirit. Repent of it and run to the Word. Run from sin and run to God. Run from sin and run with your church family. Let the Spirit encourage spiritual growth in you in this season. And his Spirit enables generous giving. Let the Spirit of God provoke you towards generosity in this season. Sure, I would encourage you to be faithful in giving to your local church. I certainly want you to do that wherever that might be. If you're tuning in today and you might go to another church, that's fine. Be incredibly generous to your local church. But in the next week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, there might be more needs that arise in our church. And in that season, we want to be generous with all that God's asking us to give. If there are needs in other churches in our community, we want to be there to support them and strengthen them like the Church of Antioch did the church in Judea. We want to be generous in giving financially. We want to be generous in giving spiritually the gospel away. You know, this weekend I told you about my fire pit I built, and the first thing we did was have to pick out a spot where we were going to put it at. And we looked all around our backyard. There's this big dry spot right off of our deck that we thought this would be a good spot. Now, it looked dry and dusty and everything, but it was a fine piece of land. It really was. It was a fine piece of land with kids played on and stuff. It was for good use, but we looked at it and we thought this would be a good spot for it. It's not a lot of sun there, so it's already dry. And then I in my head, I could see what I wanted to look like. We did some research, found some brick layouts we wanted to do, and then I did the hard work. I went in it, I spray painted this 14-foot circle, and then I took a shovel and I start digging through this hard ground all around. I'm talking like I'm going hard into this ground, and I'm digging, and the hard part is clearing it all out and flattening it all, you know? And so I clear it all out, I flatten it, and I'm sweaty, I'm drenched, I keep going, and then we gotta like get all these bricks, and spent 2 hours at Lowe's getting all these bricks and laying it out, and I'm telling you, it was hard. Like, it was dirty. Like, Marcy and I did all day Friday, and we were just tired. We went to bed. Yesterday, we got up, we finished it all, and we cranked out. We knocked it out 2 days, and we were exhausted. But sitting there last night, beside it, looking at it, and taking pictures and posting, we're like, this is all beautiful, and this is worth it. You know, in this season, you might feel very tired and very busted and very exhausted, and you may not see what God is doing, but I promise you on the other side of this, God sees his beautiful plan. He sees his beautiful ending. He sees what he's trying to do. And though many of us maybe felt like we were okay and of good use before this season, perhaps in this season he is pruning us and calling us to a deeper walk with him, to greater trust in him, greater dependency on him, and less dependency on us. And on the other side of this, may he produce believers who are fully devoted, trusting in him. Because in every season, God works for his glory and the good of his church. Will you pray with me this morning? Lord, in this season, it can be hard to know and believe and trust in you. But God, I pray that you would help us to trust that the fruit you're wanting to produce in us is greater than our inconvenience right now. Lord, we thank you for the hope that you give us in Christ. I pray for us to hear the Spirit today. There's someone here who needs to trust in the Lord. I pray that you would lead them right now to faith in you. I pray if you're there and you're listening and you want to believe in Christ, I pray right now from your heart you would just simply cry out to God for salvation. Confess your sin to him. And right now, Lord, I am a sinner and I believe you died for me and you gave your life for me and Jesus rose to life. And I trust in him alone for my salvation. Right now, from your seats, trust in Christ. All across our homes right now, will you just simply ask God to prune your heart? Lord, prune me in this season. Lord, refine me in this season. Lord, help me to remain true to you and fully devoted to you in this season. Help me to believe that you are good and gracious. This is for your glory and for my good. God, help us to grow in your word. Thank you for your mercy to teach us, to speak to us, and to move in us. In Jesus' name, amen.